The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics. Well, howdy, folks. Welcome back to hour number two. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Please head over there. Make sure they're saved in your favorites. Check out all the other great programmers. And do hit that donation button. Give big, give small. Everything that you donate is greatly appreciated and helps us keep the lights on here and pushing the signal out farther. All right. Anything that doesn't grow dies. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So give if you can. If you can't, you can help us simply by sharing the link out there. Let other people know that Republic Broadcasting is going on, that Red Pill Politics is every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. All right. You can help. You can do something. And do give us a thumbs up over there on Rumble. All right. That helps the algorithms. Leave a comment down in the permanent comment. Share some links. Share the love. All right. Let's let these videos move around as a resource as a whole. So if you got things to contribute, make sure they show up in the permanent comments. Let's get right to it. Got another caller on the line. We're going to be talking with Lynn from Maryland right now. How are you today, Lynn?
Oh, well, a little chilly, but, you know, I'm getting trying the fire here. I'm practicing survival techniques because I haven't had any heat in a while. No groceries, you know, so folks actually take Dave's advice. You know, it's good to have a few things on hand just in case.
Indeed.
Because I can tell you they weaponized the gas company. And But I actually missed about 30 minutes of your program when I came back on. You were talking about the bridge failing and something about before the spark. But you said you were going to call the governor about, getting the port open. I just wanted to let you know they actually had opened one channel earlier this week, and they were dredging out a deep channel to use, but they were already being able to use the area around Sparrow's Point to transport some goods. So, what I heard on Friday was that they were dredging out, for the deeper ships. I don't know for a ship that big, but also that's what doesn't make sense. But here's my other thing, and I'm not an engineer. And I haven't seen a picture of the bridge, right, because I don't watch TV and I'm not on the Internet. But I heard it when it happened. That's why I like BBC at night. You'll hear things that are live, and you'll get, like, what's really going on right then. You might not hear what's right after that, and you may not get an explanation, and you may not ever hear what you heard ever again, but you will hear something live. And I've heard some things that were doozies a few times. But that thing, I'm like, so the next day I actually talked to somebody. I said, have you seen a picture of the bridge? Have you seen the thing? I said, so the whole bridge is just gone. The mile and a half to 2 miles of that bridge, which fell down like 40-something seconds, just all gone? And she said, yeah, like this is normal, okay? And, well, you know what? Now, I didn't say this to her because
when you say gone, it was gone, sunk out of sight, or what do you mean by gone? Let me back up a minute. What do you mean by gone? It was sunk in and out of sight, or it was already
down in the water.
Yeah.
Okay, but in 40 some seconds, the entire mile and a half plus of the bridge fell. Now, I don't have a problem with those seconds. What I have a problem with is the entire thing in one fell swoop fell because it was put up in sections. It would fall in sections, so it could still fall in 45 seconds. But
yeah, I think it was built in like 70.
But I guarantee you, there'd be something hanging there. Right?
I was trying to look into this a little bit. It was built in like the early to mid 70s, like 72 to 75, and there was some changes that came about after the Valdez, and there was changes in the way they engineered bridges. Because what they didn't want to happen is pretty much what we saw there, where you have an impact in one area that brings down the entire thing. You might lose a span, maybe two, depending, but an entire bridge would not come down. And I was trying to research whether that was factored in to the development of this bridge or not. And have you been to the site? Have you seen the buttresses where that actual impact took place? I was curious what was beneath the surface of the water, because those legs that went down, it was a series of four individual columns that arced down together to a point, and I was curious what was there, because that didn't look too substantial considering the size of the boats going in and out of that port, which were probably a lot smaller back in the 70s, but...
No, but what I understand, they have something that they call dolphins that are, like, under the water, I believe, that actually are supposed to deter ships, but they wouldn't deter a ship that is the size of three football fields. But imagine the one area of all of those pillars holding that bridge, the single weakest link is where that giant ship hit. What, you know, it's another what are the odds. But the other thing is, on Friday a week ago, at the press conference with the governor and company, an ABC reporter asked the question, and she said, the crew has reported that there's a very large vessel under the water. Now, we're not talking the through the pothole fillers in their truck. We're talking a very large vessel, and could you please verify and explain this? No. And the other thing to know is that there's very little space between the bottom of those ships and the bottom of the channel. Okay, there's not much room. So where's this very large vessel that they've never addressed? And then one other thing I was going to say, when you brought the tunnels up, well, we have Mount Weather in Virginia, and we have that huge tunnel in Mount Cheyenne in Colorado Springs. And I'm thinking of Bubba Rep. So, you know, I'm sure he knows about Mount Cheyenne. I mean, because you can drive huge 18-wheelers in Cheyenne Mountain. You could live in Cheyenne Mountain. That's the whole purpose of it. I mean, that thing is equipped for the nuclear blast. It's there.
Yeah, like I said, they're capable of, I think, 4 miles a day. So they not only go in and, you know, carve out roadways, highways from to anywhere, but they also cut out massive areas, just leaving stone columns here and there to, you know, to hold the earth up above them, but massive complexes can be excavated from solid bedrock with these. I mean, how much of that's going on? And, you know, is that possible to trigger instabilities and earthquakes? And yes, it
fracking
is.
Fracking causes earthquakes.
Sure.
And that's just a little thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know, it's not, that isn't even that thick a thing going through rock, you know, going through shale. So if that can cause earthquakes, one is a big old do, you know, but you can also do it with any energy weapon. And actually, if nobody heard 60 Minutes last week, you know, the Havana Syndrome thing, they did a report on that on last week's 60 Minutes, if nobody heard the segment. And you know what, if you can do that to people, think about equipment. I actually, on my computer, I can't get in because nobody can tell me which on the DOS screen to choose as an option to open my computer. I actually have an updated energy weapons manual that's a military, official military manual. So the weaponry exists. You know, I don't know what happened to the bridge. Maybe it was natural, but coming down that way doesn't seem natural to me. It just isn't logical.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the ship is key. What was going on mechanically? Those people that were involved, that were, you know, the captain on down, the individual.
Well, yeah, and the ship shouldn't have made a hard turn. The ship should have been locked into where it was already set to go.
It didn't have any tugs for
that. Ship would have made a hard turn.
Well, I don't know, because I went out and looked at the tide maps, and they were probably an hour and a half before ebb tide. So the tide was still going out. So there's a current out of the bay into the ocean. So there's that. There is an existing current that brings them in that direction. So is it possible that a current could bring them? Yes, that is. But what was going on? Because there's a couple of things at play. There's also a high-pressure gas line that runs underneath the bay right there. So they talked about dropping anchor. That can't just be randomly done. This is all something that's very carefully controlled in this port. Because they can't hook that gas line. That would be quite catastrophic in itself. So, you know, what happened? Did they drop the anchor and it was dragging, and finally caught in and swung that boat around? Is that among the possibilities? Or was it sabotage? Was it hacked? You know, and if it was, there had to have been a preemptive setup for all of the backup systems to go down simultaneously. So this is where there's a lot of investigations to be done. I'm not convinced it was a complete accident, although the conditions are there for that barge to float into that column if the power was cut at a precise time. You know, so
they weren't out in the bay. They were still at the Patuxent River. Not that the tide wouldn't affect it, but here's the other piece. Just, to, you know, and I don't like to do the conspiracy theory stuff so much, except I know conspiracies do happen. Because by that weekend, I was saying, don't go to any concerts. Music venues seem to be a problem. Two is enough of a pattern for me to start to see it. Okay, and then what? By Monday night, wasn't it Monday night with the ship? Who was about as ticked on the face of this earth as one person could be on that night? Because that UN resolution had passed. And the White House couldn't do backflips fast enough, going, whoa, but it's not a binding resolution. Well, it doesn't matter anyway, because it didn't even do a ceasefire. But they were furious, pulling back their delegates and having an absolute friggin' tizzy fit. Okay, so who was that mad? They were mad. They were furious. Yeah. The same way as terrorists going into a concert next to Moscow and then running off to Ukraine. I'm like, okay, does nobody see a setup here? I mean, come on. Let's look at the whole big picture.
We do have to be looking over our shoulder here, because while we are preoccupied with these things like the barge, the eclipse, you know, what else are they doing?
Well,
I mean, they're always
so
passing
distracted.
Stuff. Yeah, they're up to something. And even if they didn't plan those things so that they could do something deviant, they're opportunists. They're going to wait for there to be a distraction before, you know, they drop the bomb on something. So I'm always looking around to see what else is going on in the real news cycle while these shiny things are out there. We got to be multitasking, I guess, looking at the issues as they unfold and also looking to see what could blindside us.
Well, you're right. And the thing is to look at what you're not being told.
Yeah.
Because usually what isn't being said is important. It's usually a pretty big indicator. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, it's like concentrating on the seven World Kitchen workers. And that's tragic and terrible. And it is, but what about the 7 Iranian officials that were murdered? And Iran is like getting you back. And but they actually kept quiet about that until very late last week when I started making phone calls and saying, you know, I understand how bad the workers are, and that's horrible, but let's talk about starving people in Gaza. And I called the White House and had a fit because you would not remain my friend, ally, or husband if I knew you were murdering people and starving them. We would no longer be in a friendly relationship. You would now be my adversary. You know, so, I mean, who are our allies? You know, and frenemies are frenemies. I mean, I didn't understand, you know, that great democracy, Israel. I don't get that because I don't see it. And I can tell you the Christian church is doubling down on rah-rah Israel. And thank God for those Israelis that are out there protesting by the tens of thousands right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
credit, but I can tell you that's what got that kibbutz attacked on October 7th, because those are the people that started the protests.
Yeah. Well,
so, anyway, you're wonderful, Dave. I'm glad. I'm sorry I had to miss half an hour of your show, and I hope I didn't repeat anything, but thank you for bringing that up. And I really wanted to tell you about the channels since you said you were going to make phone calls. You can check it out. Because I always hate it when I call down to Capitol Hill or something, and then it's like, well, that was a dumb phone call that I just made. But that's okay. Practice is practice, you know?
Yeah, sometimes
you
fall
down. But I can tell you, they won't help me with my gas problem because it has to be a federal agency. I'm like, it's a utility. Come on.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, tell him you're a squatter.
But the felon will be back on Monday
because
I have no doubt if he's not a felon, it's only because he hasn't been convicted yet because he's mean.
No.
Okay. Bless your heart. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
And again,
thank
Sam, thank you for everything, and happy birthday to
Jance is a big 6'4" today.
Happy birthday to you. I'm celebrating your birthday today, and my heart's
right.
with Alan and his mom. Thank you very much, Dave.
Okay, you have a good day now. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, that's good stuff there. So, yeah, be discerning. That's the moral of that story there. Got a couple calls. We've got to hustle in here. I want to make sure I left one on the line last week. I think it was Mike from Kentucky, but we're not going to do that this week. Let's go to James from Vancouver. How are you? You're on the show.
Good morning. I think the short, sweet answer is they blew the bridges. They blew the bridge. To make it look like the ship. Yeah, because when you look at, I thought, of course, I was fooled because, you know, you see the bridge, you see the ship hit the bridge and the bridge falls. But upon a closer inspection, I looked at a video and there's a flash coming from one of the spans of the trusses, the top truss, which carries a lot of the weight. And the flash came from the cantilever truss at the top, close to the shoreline.
I started to lose you there at the end.
Okay, so when that truss is blowing, then the bridge can't support the weight. And I think they blew it all along the bridge because then it all sort of came down. Now, usually when you design a bridge and you know there's ships going through, you're going to design the bridge to such that it can withstand bumping from ships. Okay? And you notice
that
ship
bridge
has
was built, the ships were significantly smaller. And I'm sure they always over-engineer. They give some kind of a buffer. But the ships that were transporting back then were significantly smaller than the ones that are out there today. What do you say about the observations that I made that the collapse preceded the flash that you saw? And I agree with you. It was over one of the significant columns, but you can still go back and see the marker lights that were on top of that truss. And you saw the flash over on the right-hand shore as well, but there was no smoke, and the flash was after the bridge visibly began to collapse and fail.
Well, you're not going to see smoke with something like C4 at night. I mean, you're using, to blow steel, you use a high percentage of nitro. I mean, ammonium nitrate would be impossible to blow. So you're using at least 70% nitroglycerin in the charges. Again, it's a trick. I mean, it's made to look like the bridge did the job. And it had me fooled, and I just got out my engineering book on trusses and things like that. And even if that ship was designed to be, like you say, it's designed in 77. I mean, we got bridges up in Vancouver. They were probably built in 1920. They're still working. And if a freighter hits them, it'll bend the steel. And it'll cause a problem, okay? Yeah. But it's not going to snap and break because that kind of kinetic energy that a ship would have or a container ship is not the same kind of kinetic energy that you get from explosives that are high in nitro. So there's just not the energy to snap it and then have it all fall down nicely the way it did. And
That's what I was investigating, was it that specific type of engineering where they took all the weight of the bridge, transferred that all down to those two buttresses, the main buttresses on each side of the bay? You know, because when it all started to come down, it was at those critical joining points, even at the apex of it, where those connections were broken, and it was a domino effect because you could see the counterweight as that began to collapse and then eventually fail at the midpoints. I think that type of engineering, and that's what I believe will probably pan out, you know, it was at that time where changes were made, so the bridges were not constructed that way. I don't know. It'd be interesting. We got to land on the truth. I'm just not convinced that it was blown. I think the bridge was predisposed to collapsing because of that. Maybe people knew.
Well, your argument could be true in terms of that critical point, but then what about the flash on the top truss of the cantilever? See, that kind of gives it away, you see, because...
But that's the marker
light.
If you don't
blow that, if you don't... No, I don't think that was the light. If you don't break that top strand, okay, then the thing won't come down. It just won't. You see? People don't get it. First of all, you got the flatbed, which is sitting on the supports that are in the river, okay? Then you got the truss, which comes above that, right? And that is the second critical part where a lot of the weight of the bridge is being put on that top beam, and that top beam is what they blew. See? That's where the flash came from. That severed the top beam. Well, now it can come down easily. And, of course, they used more C4 in other places. It just fell like Tinker Toys. Mm-hmm. See?
I mean, this is something that should present itself as they pull that wreckage out. We'll see what they do with it. On 9/11, they put it on tugboats and sent all that steel to China.
And remember, didn't they say all people who are using their drones will be arrested if the drones are flying over the bridges? I mean, that's in the public domain. Why can't I have my drone looking above, you see?
Yeah.
Like, no pictures here. Streisand effect, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they should be filming that stuff as it comes out of the river right now.
Tell you what, you call up a consultant engineer in your nearby neighborhood who consults for bridges and talk to him, and, you know, It doesn't have to be on the record. You ask him privately, okay? And with that, I'll bid you, well, I guess tomorrow is the eclipse. Is it total in your part of the world?
If I go up to our bunker in New Hampshire, it will be, but it's pretty close to it. We'll be able to get a majority view of it from Massachusetts, but up in New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine, it's supposed to be pretty visible.
Well, maybe the government will be able to pull some tricks and blame it on the eclipse. So,
yeah.
I'll let you go, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
I know.
All right. We got some more lined up here. Let's get right to them. Next, we got John from Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you. There you go. How you doing, John?
Good. Good morning. I just wanted to say that Nassau has been in the emergency response agenda since 2021. There was an event held where they have a lot of booths, a conference, and it was at the EMEX 2021 conference. It has to do with the emergency responses. And a lot of people were surprised, hey, what is NASA doing here, with emergency responses? So they've been in the business since 2021 of attending to, there's a website also that has all this information. If you remember EMEX 2021, you can find it. And also with the eclipse and, Terrence was mentioning April 7th as being the birthday of Christ. The war in Gaza has already culminated 6 months, and there has been a pouring out of protests all around Jerusalem because of Bibi being in power. They want him out. And it's interesting that Bibi is only in power because of the emergency response to the Gaza situation. Once he is out of that emergency, he no longer has a job. So for him, for Bibi, hey, if we can take this all the way to building the third temple, we are going to do it. Because after this emergency response is, he has no support to for his sitting government as prime minister.
Yeah, the political winds have not been in his favor. That's pretty obvious. People are a little restless with him right now, for certain.
34,000 in Caesarea alone. And in Tel Aviv, everybody is, they're out in the streets. They want Bibi out. And also, those rockets that they want to go to the far side of the moon. Now, this reminds me of Operation High Jump in Fishbowl, where I believe there's a firmament and... they already tried this in the 60s with Operation High Jump and Fishbowl.
Yeah, I remember those projects. I don't know what they're thinking right now, launching three rockets up there tomorrow, what that's going to achieve. But it's odd. Yeah, I mean, you can't help take note of it and scratch your head and wonder why. What are among the things that we could expect that we should not panic about? A lot of people aren't aware that something weird is going to possibly happen. They're going out thinking they're just going to see an eclipse and they're going to see whatever. Maybe they'll just see an eclipse. Maybe next week when we, during the show and we talk, it may be a whole lot to do about nothing, but You know, it certainly does give opportunity for those players out there that want to manipulate the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And as you had mentioned earlier, there are people believe in astrology. I don't, but they do. And I was just looking for the astrological portents for tomorrow. And I'm reading this from Astral Style. I'm not going to read the whole thing. If anybody is interested, they could go to astrostyle.com, astrostyle.com. And this is, it says that April 2024 eclipse is going to bring surprises. And I'm just going to read off a couple. There's some headings. It talks about this, is there going to be a worldwide reckoning? It says,
I'll hold you over till after the break, and we'll hit that real quick, but we got commercials coming in.
Okay.
You're listening to Red Pill Politics. This is Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Spend more Sundays drunk off my ass than I have in church. Hardcover King James, only been saving dust on the nightstand. And I don't know what to say. By the time I fold my hands, I only talk to God when I need a favor. And I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So the Savior.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Final segment of the show. I've got some final thoughts from John from Pennsylvania. He's about to read off a few coincidences that can coincide with the eclipse, I believe. Go ahead, John.
These predictions from astrostyle.com. It reads, is there going to be a worldwide reckoning? So there might be a reckoning, and it says that sounds like a major wake-up call. The impact of collective rage, authoritarianism, and the embattled existence under which many are living will be clear. Humanity will be faced with a choice. We either lay down our swords and negotiate or exasperate war wounds and continue to destroy each other and fight to the death. So that we're presented with a choice. Could there be assassination attempt on a world leader? And it brings up the death of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. Something with the eclipse, you know. They already, you know, like they were killed. There could be a world leader killed tomorrow. Could a nuclear event occur near the April 8th eclipse? Talks about that and how the Chernobyl disaster occurred. in one of those astrological events. And it does say, and this is what is
there's always those opportunists, like I said, will use this event, whether it's the masses of people, which is yet to prove out. There may not be a flood of people coming into these communities. That may have all been invented. Some people probably will to get a perfect view, but is it going to be the flood of people? I don't know. But there's opportunists out there. So I think we all just got to be observant. You know, don't look at the sun. You progressives out there. You know, you use a welding helmet. But yeah, don't panic. Myself, I'm going to sit home here. I'm gonna try to treat it like a normal day if I can. So
yeah, I'm not worried at all. But I know the enemy. I know the enemy believes in astrology. And there was an astrological event on the very day of 9/11 that's never talked about.
No, I agree. John, I got to let you go. I got to hit some other callers here. But I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts on this as well. Yeah, we've all got to relax a little bit. Again, be looking around you to see what else they might be doing. You know, there's a lot of little shiny things that are floated out there to preoccupy our mind. You know, let's not let that get in the way of good old-fashioned common sense. Let it not lead to panic. I mean, we just don't make good decisions when we're panicky. So let's not allow that to happen. Be cool. Keep your shit together, and everything will be okay. We'll figure it out. We'll get through it. All right, let's get to our next call. Scott from Nevada. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing okay, Dave. Don't want to make a big deal out of it. I'd like to touch upon two things that you've been talking about. Number one, that bridge in Baltimore. And then number two, the October 7th thing in Israel. By the way, I just sent you an email of the cover art from the 2012 Economist. Have you seen that, the Christmas issue?
It's not ringing a bell, no.
Okay, I sent it to your email from RBN here. It says contact@redpillpolitics.tv.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll get to that in a moment. Going back to the bridge. So I used to work on ships 28 years, so I paid close attention to this. Now, in 1980, the last time something like this happened was 43 years ago. 1980, it was a Sunshine Skyway Bridge outside of Tampa, and a ship hit one of the main pillars, you know, that's embedded in the seafloor, and then 1,200 feet of bridge came down. So it's not like this has never happened before. And this one is troubling. Now, one thing about the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, the Coast Guard commenced there a hearing, a Marine Investigation Board, in 4 days. So this happened on May 9th, 1980. On May 13th, the Coast Guard convened a hearing, right? Marine Board of Inspection. So I emailed Coast Guard Sector Baltimore as well as the local Coast Guard office, and I pointed that out. Hey, when this happened in Tampa, you guys started a public hearings, by the way, in 4 days. And it's been almost 2 weeks now, no public hearing. So it's more than likely going to be something real stupid, like they lost the plant. That's what it's called when you lose your power. We lost the plant. So that's all understandable. I hearing people say, well, they said it had a tugboat hooked up. Well, you know, that wasn't the practice at that port. And, you know,
yeah, they scale back on that in what, how long the tugs stay with them. Was a policy change that took place there. You know, the jurisdiction is Port Authority. Ports are defined jurisdictionally and legally much different than other territories, especially land-based territories. So I don't know if there was a difference in jurisdiction and, you know, who had control over the situation, but you would think that there would be public hearings, because this is something that has a systemic effect on the people of this nation, because so many things move in and out of that port. This is definitely a public interest and should be a public hearing, but it's not, and that is bothersome.
Yeah, I find it troubling. And another thing, I never heard back from Coast Guard Sector Baltimore or the local Coast Guard office, so that has my attention. I've lost the plant in 28 years of shipping out. We lost the plant 5 times on vessels I was on. 3 of them happened at sea. No big deal. You just drift around for a while. 2 of them, if they had happened 15 minutes later, it would have been a disaster. So, you know, it could just be bad luck for that vessel. And, you know, it's just stupid crap, you know, like somebody not doing maintenance and repair, but saying they are, that kind of crap. It's something like that. And that jog to the right just before it hit the bridge pillar, I've seen that happen, something like that. We didn't hit anything, but we caught it right away. But the pilot, in this case, the pilot would have said hard left to get away from the bridge pillar. And I've seen it where the pilot said something like that, and the helmsman went the opposite direction, but we caught it right away. So, see, this is the kind of stuff I would have expected to come out within a matter of days if they had convened a hearing, but it's been almost 2 weeks and no hearing. Okay, so I don't know what to think about that. Now, these kind of vessel, that vessel was built in 2015, if I'm remembering right, and there's a lot of ways of commandeering that ship, just like, say, a vehicle, modern vehicles can be commandeered. You know, the steering, the brakes, they can be commandeered these days. So don't rule that out. But I wanted to wait and see, okay, let's see what the Coast Guard comes up with in their investigation. And you can bet they were on that ship by 8 o'clock in the morning on the 20th.
Oh, yeah, they were interviewing the crew almost immediately.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So where's our public hearings? And they should be saying something, but they're not. So that's I'm taking note of that. Now, on October 7th, I like the way I always catch your shows, and I like the way you always take measured approaches to things. So, wait a few days, see what comes up. I think October 7th was Israeli Mossad CIA job. And check out that cover art. I sent you the email. So in 2012, it's titled A Rough Guide to Hell, and it shows a motorized hang glider equipped with machine guns and a guy in the hang glider with a hat that says Hamas on it.
I did see that. Now that you're describing it, I do remember seeing that floated out there.
It's worth studying. It's worth studying carefully, because there's a lot more than that hang glider. It's even, it's got Obama on there. It's pretty interesting to just sit there and go, man, I mean, you can't make that stuff up. What's that all about? Of course, the Rothschilds and the Economist. Anyway, just chill out. Johnny Cash had a song, It's Going by the Book. So it's going by the book, Dave, and just relax. Okay, man, good show.
All right, thanks for the call. Scott from Nevada. We got to keep the pressure on, because they'll make mistakes. It's like these investigations that we were just talking about in the hearings. Absolutely right, there should be public hearings. Absolutely no doubt about it. Why isn't there? And good questions to be asking. Pressure them for that. Say, this is you don't have a monopoly on this being a critical issue to you. This is a critical issue to us. And we demand transparency. We want the truth. If we don't press them for it, you don't think they're just going to offer it up just because they love you so much. That is not the case. All right, let's go. I think we got one more caller here. This one from Texas. Ken from Texas, how are you today?
How are you doing? I just look at this as a cynic. And regarding Baltimore, you don't have to know anything about the bridge. you don't have to know anything about the ship. All you have to do is look at the, air quotes, metadata. How are they responding to it? Because you know that anytime somebody mispronounces a pronoun, you know, all the mainstream media shows up and drones and you know their first, middle, and last name and all of that. And so, you know, where's that type of coverage? You know, where's the pictures of the, where's the mainstream media normal response?
They said they got they recovered the black box, but again, now we're missing about 2 minutes of that. That data that you're talking about, the metadata, because knowing exactly how they reacted within a timeline is critically important. And now we're all supposed to put on our surprise face that there's 2 minutes missing, and I have no doubt it's probably the most crucial 2 minutes.
Well, that is that right. But what I'm talking about is the government response. When they come in and they say, okay, no drones, no nothing, you can't investigate, they declared it a crime scene, and so the response of the government to it is what I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah.
You don't have to know anything about the ship or the bridge. It's the way they're responding which shows that something nefarious is going on. That's the only point I'm trying to make. And then as far as the eclipse, I think it's a huge nothing burger, with the exception that, you know, it's an occultation, and the occult, you know, live by astrology and that. But, you know, it's like back in 2020, on December 21st, you had Saturn and Jupiter 0 degrees apart, 6 minutes and 6 seconds. So here you have the sixth planet, you know, 6 minutes and 6 seconds away. And that was a huge occult type issue. And, you know, where was all the sensation regarding that? It's pretty much overlooked.
Yeah.
So it's all a nothing burger. And, you know, I feel sorry for all the people that came from all over forever. You know, especially when there might be cloud cover and you know, you won't even be able to see it. That's what happened the last eclipse around here. We had cloudy days, and it was a total absolute nothing burger.
Yeah, that's always possible. And I tend to favor, you know, what you're saying is I think it's probably going to be a nothing burger. But, you know, there's still the opportunist in the world that will leverage any situation. So, in the end, I got my head on a swivel, and I guess I'm both an optimist and a pessimist at the same time. I don't know what that means, but I got any final words, Ken? I got to wrap the show up here, but I do appreciate your thoughts.
One final comment is when it comes to October 7, remember Building 7, and thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. That was Ken from Texas. I want to thank all the callers today, actually. The birthday boy, Chance from West Virginia, Lynn from Maryland, James from Vancouver, John from Pennsylvania, Scott, Nevada, and Ken from Texas. I want to thank Sam, who runs the controls here. He's at Command Central here for RBN and keeps things going out. I appreciate Sam's help and participation with the Red Pill Politics Show and RBN. And thank you to the listeners. All right. This is all about you. I'm going to squeeze in these last couple of moments my little gardening tip. I promise, and I'm going to actually get through it. And this is just a couple of quick little tips for those of you. We talked about starting your plants early. There's nothing more frustrating than putting them in the ground, looking at them for a day, and then coming out the next day, and they're leaning over and dead. All right, cutworms, they're awful. One of the things that you can do, works very, very well, is you take a good-sized nail, an eight-penny nail, and slide it right down the stem of your plant and into the dirt. Leave a little above the dirt, in a bunch down below the dirt, because a cutworm will, it wraps around the stalk of your tender plants, and it will eat right through. It will not do that if there's anything other than fleshy plant material. So they will not wrap around a nail. So this is a way of protecting your plants from cutworms. But in terms of planting these plants, all right, when you put them in the ground, there's a couple of things that you can do, especially your tomatoes, is I always throw a couple of unlit match heads in there. It's the sulfur. When they're young like that, they love the sulfur, and that helps out. But here's the thing that I'm giving you advance notice so you can set this up, is throw a fish in the bottom. My granddad used to take me fishing the day before we were going to plant the garden. And we go and catch a whole bunch of fish. Some of them were keepers, but we also, it was a one time out of the year where we keep a bunch of panfish like pumpkin seed and bluegill, things like that. We bring them home. In every hole that we're going to put a plant in, we threw a fish in there. And man, I'll tell you what, they grew like crazy. But the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to take the time and bring a young person out fishing. All right, the day before you're going to plant your garden, you know, commit to taking a young person on some Saturday out to some river or pond somewhere and just giving them a good outdoor experience. Kids need to reconnect in this way. And I'm inviting you to invite one of these young cubs out fishing. There is nothing better that you could do with a young person on a spring day than go out and do a little bit of fishing, maybe talking about life. All right, so find that young person out there that could use a good role model, all right, and treat them to a day of fishing. And you put that in the hole with your tomato plants and your other stuff. Boy, you watch them grow. Hey, want to thank y'all for listening. Please share the show, get subscribed, give us a thumbs up if you're on Rumble, and share, man. We'll see you next week, same time, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. Love and appreciate y'all. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there. See you next week.
Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. cows, too.
Easoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.